in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. In the foundations are destroyed. What can the righteous do? The Lord is the holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous. But the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone and the burning wind. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright.
70, 70, mansion over the hilltop. Let us sing. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold, but in that city where the west will shine, I want a gold one, that silver. Supplement number 28, 28, for you have promised. Oh, Father, draw me close to you. Come now, my spirit, peace renew. And yes, I know. Healing light and to magnify your loving favor, and I will tell of your salvation, for all your promises are true and I believe. Secure my heart, Lord, as I kneel. Make sure my trust, my all I yield. Then I'll be one with you in all I do, for you have promised and I believe. Then I will praise your name forever. I'll give you thanks, magnify your loving favor. And I will tell of your salvation, for all your promises are true and I believe.
James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. And then over in John 3, or 3 John, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth.
Ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father know who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?
The Lord shall send, the time shall be no more, and the Lord in grace eternal right there. When the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the road is fallen yonder, I'll be there.
be number 174. I ask that we sing the chorus after the three verses.
Love, above all my Lord, haven't already done so, in just a moment, we'll sing together number 284 as a song of invitation. Thank you, Eddie, for putting this together. Appreciate the effort that we've had this morning to sing songs of praise to our God. It is an important element of our worship to God. And we have specifically this morning considered together the idea of joy in serving the Lord. And I would like for just a moment or two to think about a couple of things related to the subject of joy. And then we want to offer the opportunity for any that have yet to render their obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ to do so. If you would turn to Galatians chapter 5, I'd like us to notice that joy is something that is described in this passage as a fruit of the Spirit. Beginning in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." I want us to notice there, you know, we often have a tendency, our world does anyway, to think that happiness rests in doing whatever you want to do, in pursuing whatever the flesh might ask of you. But I would notice and call to your attention here that in this text, quite the contrary to that, joy is described as that which comes as a fruit, as a benefit of following the guidance of the Spirit through the Word of God. When we do what God commands us to do, that's where true happiness, true joy is to be found. It's interesting, though, because as we think about what it means to be a Christian, what we think about with respect to joy, is joy something in which we're just grinning ear to ear every moment of every day? Is it something in which we're just bubbling over at all times? Turn with me to James chapter 1 for just a moment, and I want to suggest to you that there is a different sense in which I think we can understand the type of joy that we can have in Christ. Because the joy that comes as a result of walking in accordance with the revelation of the Spirit is a joy that at times perhaps may lead us to grin ear from ear to ear, may at times cause us to be bubbling over. But in James chapter 1 and verse 2, here the Holy Spirit through James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Now, think with me about this for a moment. If we in Christ are to count it joy when we fall into various trials, the Holy Spirit here is not saying enjoy bad things. It is not saying that we somehow draw delight from hardships. But you know, in the same way that we often can recognize there are certain things we have to go through that have a favorable end and a favorable benefit. You know, when I was in high school, I played football from elementary up through the time I was in high school. I never liked running. I never really liked lifting weights and all of that kind of thing. But I can tell you that I understood intellectually that when in fact you did those things, it made you stronger, so that when you got on the field and when you went to make that tackle, or you were trying to run to catch that guy you were trying to tackle, you could do it in a way that you would not otherwise. And so while you didn't enjoy lifting the weights or didn't enjoy the exercise, you enjoyed what it led to. And I really think that's probably how we have to understand this. As Christians, we recognize that we live in a world in which we're going to face trials. But in Christ, and I would submit to you, in Christ alone, can we recognize that hardships we face because we are Christians has a meaning and has a purpose, and it can't defeat us unless we allow it to defeat us. So when we think about this sense of joy in serving Christ, and we think about how it is that joy can be a fruit of the Spirit, let's think about that as it relates to this point, that we may count it joy when we fall into various trials. But turn to Jude with me, and we'll look at one last passage. Ultimately, in Christ, we can have a recognition that we have a hope that is set before us of the greatest peace, the greatest contentment, the greatest happiness, the greatest joy that we can ever imagine. You know, there have been a lot of things in this life that have made me happy, that have given me delight. But one of the things that you so often find, you know, when Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes talks about the eye is not satisfied with seeing or the ear with hearing, you know, our bellies always grow hungry again. It will be that that thing which grants us delight for a time doesn't seem to satisfy as time goes on. Some of that is just the nature of our existence here in this life, on this earth. But I want to tell you that in Christ, and once again in Christ alone, there is an offer of a kind of joy that is far and away above anything you've ever experienced here. The Hebrew writer will warn about those that there, as he talks about and praises Moses, he did not simply enjoy the passing pleasure of sin for a time. We must recognize that any joy here is temporary. But read with me in Jude, verse 24, where the epistle ends with these words. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you fruitless before the presence of his glory, notice this, with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Think about the most joyous, happy experience you've ever had in this life. Maybe it was the birth of a child. Maybe it was the day you were married. Maybe it was watching your children graduate, or whatever it may be. You know that feeling where you're just overwhelmed with such a sense of this is so wonderful, I am so happy. I want you to notice here what it says at the end of verse 24 about the time in which we will be before his presence and behold his glory with exceeding joy. I want to tell you that if you are in Christ, if you have been faithful to Christ, there is a joy, there is a happiness, there is a peace that awaits you that's so far and away above anything you've ever experienced here. And it is a peace that no one can take from you. It is a peace that will not go away. It is a joy that will not go away. Do you want that in your life? Do you want that as your hope in the age to come? Would you not put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God? Confess that faith before men. Repent and turn from sin that would separate you from God. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And abide in his word. As you do so, Scripture teaches us that that is what it means to be led by the Spirit. And joy is a fruit that comes from that. We can, in such a condition, even when we face trial, recognize we can view it with joy because trials can't defeat us. We have set before us in Christ that day in which we'll stand before his presence, behold his glory with exceeding joy. Would you not accept that this morning? Won't you come while we stand and sing?